Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The uncertainty surrounding COVID-19 is unsettling, not just for individuals, but also for the operators of public gathering spaces.
Our WCBS reporter Peter Haskell has a look at this complicated question facing many people.
We are a city of tight quarters, subways, public spaces. Should people be concerned about going to a public space or the subway?
Well, concerns about whether we should put ourselves in situations where there's lots of people are something that we may well have to be considering very strongly in the very near future. Right this today, I think I would not hesitate to go to such events, although I tell you, I did get a call yesterday from somebody putting on a gala today with 1,000 people there. And I recommended that it's fine today. Would I have the same answer 2 days from now? I don't know. But for right now, I think we have to pay attention to what the public health officials are saying and try to follow the guidelines. And certainly for individuals, scrupulous hand washing, use of Purell. If you have a cold or cough, if you're not feeling well, do not go to those events. I think given those precautions for the moment, I think we're okay. We don't want people to be panicked about this, but we'd like them to be attentive and ready to cooperate with whatever public health recommendations are put forward in the next few days or weeks.
This seems to be the critical question. At what point should someone who's throwing a gala say to themselves, this might not be a good idea?
Well, not right now. And I think that the point would be reached, the trigger for canceling a big event would be if we start getting lots more cases in New York City, identified, diagnosed, people who are sick, and it looks like it's spreading rapidly, which it could, although it's not at this moment, then that's when we'll have to pull the trigger on these kinds of events, which, of course, also then would suggest the possibility of instituting other measures like closing schools. And what do we do about the millions of subway and bus riders that we have in New York City every day? We have a big problem because we're a huge city with, as you point out, lots of people living in very small spaces.
You talk about if and when there's a case. So do we start considering closing things, stopping things at 1, at 10, at 100, or is it a matter of how quickly we see these things increase?
There's definite truth to that last point, Peter, because if we start seeing things accelerating, so there's the absolute number. So let's say today there were 80 people that were following in New York City who may be contacts of people with coronavirus, and then all of a sudden we have 100 or 200 or 500 in the next few days. That shows us an acceleration rate, which we do have to pay attention to also. So it's one of the factors we consider. Now, I should also point out that a lot of these decisions have a sort of a subjectivity to them because it's not a hard number. And what they want to do or will do, let's say in Los Angeles or Miami with an outbreak, may be very different from what we do here. But in essence, all the public health officials around the United States, including the CDC, happen to be really, we have very, very competent professionals working in those areas. But they may differ in how to interpret data, what's happening in their own particular location, and what measures are appropriate at any given moment. But I think really trying to find the balance between complacency and panic is what we're what we need to do. And one of the things that was a little distressing yesterday about the press conference that the president had with some of his health officials was the fact that, you know, they didn't seem to be on the same page. And that really undermines credibility in public figures. And we have to be very careful that we don't have a mayor and the health department saying saying different things to the public. So that was, you know, we saw yesterday the president trying to reassure people and the health officials saying, not so fast. We're a long way away from having a vaccine, and this could get worse in a hurry. So that is obviously not a good strategy. We need to be on the same page.
It's clear this is a complicated equation to make decisions, but if a Broadway theater owner called you or the head of Madison Square Garden says, do we shut down? Do we keep going? What kind of advice would you give?
Well, I'm actually getting calls just like that now already. And my general answer is, it's like the answer I give to people. I've gotten many calls and texts from people. We're supposed to go to Los Angeles over the weekend. We have a trip planned to Paris 2 weeks from now. Should we cancel the reservations? My answer is, if it was today and if it was me, I'd go to Paris and I would go to Los Angeles. I'm not sure that I would give you the same answer 2 or 3 days from now. There's just no way to know. And this is a very difficult challenge, actually, because nobody likes this kind of uncertainty in a dynamic situation where we just don't have enough information. And by nobody, I mean the general public, as well as doctors, and public health officials, and political leaders. So we're all sort of operating in an environment where information is not sufficient to be totally objective. So that's a problem. And, you know, I guess what I would say is, as adults, we're going to have to live with this uncertainty until we start getting a lot more information about the behavior of this virus.
What concerns do you have about someone who runs a theater, a co-op board, whatever, that says you can't use the public space? Perhaps they overreact. Are you concerned about that?
Well, it's hard to criticize people who are what we might call overreacting. On the other hand, there is a sort of a public health pall over this whole thing that, you know, is it going to get worse if we keep the theater open when things do deteriorate and are spreading more rapidly and we're, in a sense, responsible for a lot more people getting infected? That really would not be a position that I would like to be in. So there's some judgments that will be made by the theater owner, by the person who's putting on the gala, and by the people who are supposed to be attending. There's those categories of decision-making. But then there's also a point where the public health the health department says, we're closing down mass congregate events now. We're going to shut down some of the subway services, or we're closing schools. And then the decision leaves the theater owner or the parent or whatever, because those decisions are hard decisions made by authorities that we can't really ignore. So in some ways it would be easier if there was enough information and credibility to the public health decisions that we don't have to worry about each theater owner, each sports arena manager having to make a decision on the spot. It's very, very difficult, but listen, we just have to understand the reality, which is that we don't have enough information.
One tricky thing seems to be the schools. Parents can say, rationally and logically, I understand exactly what you're saying, but these are my kids. What do I do?
Yeah, that's a real problem. The vast majority of New Yorkers, working New Yorkers and who are parents, cannot afford to stay home with their children. They're not sick. Their kids may not be sick, but the school's closed. And the children cannot be watched in the congregate setting. We can't say all the kids from this class will be in one place and that one person will be watching them, because the whole idea is to separate them. So that means that a caretaker, a grandma, or somebody is going to have to be they're watching the child or children while the schools are closed. And it's a tremendous burden to ask of working New Yorkers who are sort of just getting by and really can't afford to miss paychecks. So that represents a real challenge, that we're going to have the economics of making decisions like that in conflict with what's in the best interest of the public from a public health point of view?
Over the coming days and the coming weeks, but probably really the days, what are you going to be looking for?
Well, I'm going to be looking for evidence of increased spread, especially documented spread. So the other thing, Peter, is that we don't have enough functional, accurate tests. So we're a lot of it's going to be subjective determinations, like is happening in China now, where they're making a diagnosis not by getting a specific test, but because people have respiratory symptoms, maybe a fever, or shortness of breath, and maybe a chest x-ray finding. We don't know if those people have just a bad cold, regular pneumonia, seasonal influenza, or what. But we're assuming that if it's in an endemic area for this virus, that in fact that, you know, if we can't take a chance, we're going to call them coronavirus victims, even though we don't know for sure. So I'll be looking for more verification of the number of cases in various places, including here in New York and the U.S., and I'll be looking for as much documentation or proof that these people actually do have the virus.
To wrap this up, people who consume news about this and they hear about it and they're not sure what to think, what do you tell them?
I tell people who ask me this kind of question, the same thing I tell my family, my own family, and myself to an extent, is that you know, right now I would do this and I wouldn't do that. 2 days from now, that may change. For example, if we had a major outbreak here in New York City, I mean a really major outbreak, then everything I just said would be out the window and we'd have to revise what we're saying and thinking. So if I had tickets, for example, to a Broadway play this weekend, and tomorrow and Saturday we started seeing, you know, major reports of major increases in the frequency and the acceleration of this disease, I wouldn't go to the play. And I would think if I was a theater owner, I would voluntarily close it down.
Is there anything that you've seen that now makes you say, if there's something that I might ordinarily do, I'm not going to do?
Well, for sure, I would not go to South Korea, Japan, and certainly China. I would definitely not do that. Even if I had the most important meeting in the world that I've been planning for a year, I wouldn't go there. If I had a vacation plan to go to Milan, I wouldn't go there. I probably would go to Paris. I'd probably go to Rome. But so it's like it's so fluid that we just have to be prepared to make some drastic changes in what we thought we were going to do. But the moment to kind of shut everything down, all travel, all congregate events and so on, is really not here yet. It could be, may well be, but not today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.